would like to comment. Yes, sir. Come on up. Good.
Good. I'm Chris Basin, Delaware Center for the Inland Bays, and I have a short presentation today. And it's just some recommended strategies on the recreation open space, and also thought I'd take the opportunity to share a little bit about the James Farm with you, since it's pertinent to the discussion today. I hope it might be good education. So the center is a private nonprofit organization, and our job is to protect and restore the inland bays, and we do that through implementing a comprehensive conservation and management plan. So we're interested that our management plan, which we are updating right now, lines up with the plan that you're updating, and there's definitely some overlap there on this element. Janelle, is that going to do it there?
I'll try that one.
Oh, it's a trick we use, you know.
Watch that button that says eject, because you're going out the window if you hit that one.
Okay, here we go. All right, I just wanted to start out with a little bit of context about why open space is important to the bays. It does protect a lot of important wildlife habitat. It supports opportunities for physical activity and recreation, which is good for the health of our population. It does increase property values where it is created nearby. And having open space provides clean water, not just for our drinking from the superficial aquifer, but that flows into our streams and into our bays. It helps connect people to the natural world, and that maybe is a little bit understated, because if people aren't outside understanding nature, they're not going to understand how to manage it, and that's the same nature that supports us all. So we do need that connection. This graph here shows some context about how preservation has been going in the Inland Bays watershed. It's a cumulative graph of acres protected over time, and it starts at 2003. And as you can see, I want you to look at the orange line here. This orange line is actual protected lands. And as you can see, it's plateaued. So there's a few reasons for that, why less and less areas are now being protected. One of them is because the state does the lion's share of protection in our watershed, and they've decreased their investment in that protection. Property values have also gone up, and that's caused the major conservation organizations to buy high-quality natural lands outside of our watershed. So that's good for protecting the highest quality conservation lands, but what happens is that less properties are protected near the population centers that really serve the people. So a little bit of context there. This map here is from DENREC's Sea Level Rise Vulnerability Assessment. And what this shows is how protected lands are going to be impacted by sea level rise projections. This is about a 3 and a little bit foot of sea level rise projection, which DENREC is anticipating will happen by the end of the century. And you can see the purple dots. These are squares that show the amount of acres that will be affected per square mile. And you can see that in Sussex County here. So when you add all that up under this scenario, about 30 to 40% of the lands are going to be, protected lands now, are going to be inundated by the end of the century. So those are lands that were probably previously accessible to people that will no longer be accessible to people. So we're losing lands to sea level rise, which is a reason why we should consider protecting more land in the county. So
that's projected by when? I'm sorry.
End of century. So it started at the beginning of the century and is projected to, that would be by the end of the century.
So we were measuring it before the beginning of the century? We started measuring it.
Sea level's been rising about 2 inches every 100 years.
These are computer simulations based on greenhouse gas emissions. As far as actual measurements of sea level rise, we measure that at Lewis through NOAA and also down in Ocean City, Maryland. And we are in a hot spot of sea level rise globally and on our coast for a number of different reasons. So these are the strategy recommendations for objectives 3.11, which is increasing the county's role in parks, rec, and open space, and 3.12 is continuing support land increase coordination. So the strategies that I'm recommending here are to continue and expand the partnership that the county has with the center, and also additional conservation organizations to manage preserves throughout the county. I think we heard today the success, the partnership that we have with the county. Although we don't work outside of the Inland Bays watershed, there are other organizations that could have the same model. One might be the Nanticoke River Conservation Organization, which has just gotten some new leadership in the western part of the county. We're recommending creating a conservation and recreation planner position within county offices, and that job would be to secure additional properties and expand partnerships and funding. And I think part of what we're hearing today is that it takes some work to find the properties that would be available for conserving, and also to work with grantors that could leverage county investment to secure those properties. We also recommend creating a county-level financing mechanism and an interest-bearing fund for open space preservation and management to leverage state and federal dollars that could be put in. And some examples are impact fees that could be used to fund this specifically, additional property tax, or carving out some from a real estate transfer tax. So recommendations on 3.1.4, there is no 3.1, yes there is, there it is, which is maintain and improve public access to parks and recreation facilities, including coastal areas and inland waterways. We have here recognized the inland bays, their tributaries, and other water bodies as open space areas of primary importance. I think sometimes it's often overlooked that this estuary, which is 32 square miles, is really the county's most important open space asset. People are using it all the time in huge numbers and in increasing numbers, and it provides just an amazing amenity to the county. So where we can enhance that, maintain that, I think is very interesting and important. And to my knowledge, there's never been a really in-depth assessment of water access on the inland bays. If there has been, it was decades ago. And so what we would suggest in the future is the county could partner with the center, DENREC, and ecotourism businesses to produce a water access assessment and improvement plan. And that would focus on low-impact recreation. There's plenty of marinas, private marinas and public marinas on the bays. But what about places where people can easily just go and put in a kayak, put in a small boat, and enjoy themselves on the bays? I'm an avid kayaker, and there are a number of places that I can put in around the bays, but often I have to drive a long way. I don't live in a development that has waterfront access. There are a number of existing publicly owned lands that could be improved, and perhaps there's potential to acquire new ones to support this. So that would be a very worthwhile investment, I think, by the county, and that could be a strategy in the plan.
The James Farm doesn't have access?
They do, but it's a hike with a kayak to get from the parking area all the way down. And we do have a fantastic ecotourism provider there, but if you just want to take your own boat and put it in, it's basically not doable. And finally, strategy recommendations 3.2.1, prioritize for protection both large, high-quality natural areas, which is really fundamental for species conservation. They try to focus on those large properties with a lot of endangered species, but also consider a lot smaller natural areas that are dispersed throughout the county that are closer to population centers where people don't have to drive very far to get to them. I think the travel distance is a real deterrent to using properties. We know from managing the James Farm that if it is in the community, people use it, they use it a lot more. And so the approach could be to think about what properties are closest to population centers. Okay, so those are the strategy recommendations that we'd like you to consider. And I'd like to talk to you just about our experience with the James Farm. It's a 150-acre bayside preserve. It is in Ocean View, and we've been managing it under a really wonderful partnership with the county since 1998. And this was a donated piece of property. And it is possible that other properties could be donated to the county, to the center, and work under this partnership as well, which would be a strategy in addition to fee simple purchase and conservation easements. This is the overhead shot of the preserve. On your right is pasture. On your this is Beach Cove and Slough's Gut Cove. The salt marsh is part of the preserve there, and we restored that salt marsh in 2010. The central part is some warm season grassland, about 50 acres of reforested area on the left side of Cedar Neck Road. This is existing hardwood maritime forest. And then the salt marshes and Bay Beach on Pasture Point Cove there, as well as Pasture Point itself, which sticks out into the bay. And that area right there is actually one of the last remaining spots of eelgrass, which is a submerged grass in the bays. That grass had been killed off by pollution, but we were able to restore about one small acre off Pasture Point that we can maintain. So this is what it looks like from the air. And the interesting thing about this preserve is that it has a wonderful diversity of ecosystems. So it's got that forest, it's got the salt marshes and the tidal creeks, it has the warm season grasslands, and it has really one of the most beautiful bay beaches on the bays. And that diversity represents the whole peninsula, and that's really important for the education programs that we have out there. It's a place where people can go and visit this and see a lot of nature. So it was owned by the James family until the early 1900s, and Mary Short donated to the county in 1992 just for parkland and recreation and nothing other than natural lands. And of course, we've been managing it with the county since 98. That's the James family there. We run a program that works with the Indian River School District to educate anywhere from 1,000 to 1,300 middle school students at the farm every year. And it is curriculum aligned, and it aligns with the next generation science standards. And the children understand the bay. They're doing some fish seining here. They're going to be counting the number of species that they get. They understand the soils of the area. They understand how environmental stressors causes plants to adapt. And this is one of our longtime teachers at the preserve. Last year, the school district didn't have the funds to bus the kids out there, so we stepped in and were able to continue the program by helping out with that. This is just some pictures of the kids having a great day. For some of them, it's the only time they get on the bay. It's the only time they've seen the bay. And that's very important to them. We do an excellent job at this property of leveraging our volunteer labor. They cut the grass, they do education for folks that come to the property, and that's one way that we can make the county's investment in the farm go a little farther. We have docents that go to the farm just to talk to people as they come out and experience the bay with their families about what they're seeing, and that helps with donations too. If people are interacting with somebody, they're more likely to drop a fiver in the bucket, and that helps support the farm. We do citizen science surveys on the beach, where this is one of the sites that we monitor horseshoe crab populations over time, the number of eggs that they're laying, to make sure that that species is recovering with their management plan. And we have an ecotourism provider. This is Lisa Daisy. We've been working with her for about 10 years. She operates under a concessionaire agreement. She's a successful small business person. And she takes hundreds and hundreds of people out in her kayaks on the bay every year. She makes sure to talk about the center and the county and the life in the bay. We have a native plant sale that brings in different nurseries around the bays to sell their plants there. We don't charge them anything because we like to support small businesses and it helps educate people. So over time, the attendance of this property has grown and grown, and in 2014 we developed a master plan to handle that growth while protecting the natural resources on the farm. And I don't want to talk too much about this. If you're interested in this, I'd love to talk to you more offline about it. But it's really expanding the parking area that you see here in the center, as well as instituting a new trail system and separating our education areas from our management and restoration project areas, as well as a great deal of educational signage that will help enhance the value of the farm to that respect. These are the construction designs for the entryway that we have just finished up, thanks to a grant from the county that we were able to leverage with a grant from the state. We are going into construction of this next year. It's about a $300,000 project, and our fundraising strategy is to raise a third of that from the county, which we've been successful in doing in the last budget, and we thank you all for that. A third from the state, and then a third from private donors in the area. So I hope that that gives you a little bit of a flavor of how that one partnership is working at the farm. We can't do it without the funds from the county, and we match that up with our funds, some of which comes from private donors and some of which comes from the EPA. But it does cost money to do this. I can tell you the last time we measured, there was over about 10,000 visits to the farm, and those have been going up every year. When you compare that to the Fresh Pond Park, which there's also some visit numbers on that, there's a lot more people coming to the farm than there is the Fresh Pond Park by thousands. We have very few incidents. There's always some vandalism. We've had some kayaks burned up. But overall, people are very friendly at the park. And it is very, very well loved by the local community. So it's a huge asset. So I appreciate the opportunity to share the strategies and suggestions. And if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And
anybody have any questions for Chris?
Just maybe a request with the strategies, if you have, or could get them to you guys, and maybe we can go through them like we did today.
Conservation?
Yeah.
The 26th?
Well, or you know, even the one we just did, Parks and Rec.
Yeah. There is some overlap with things I'll be proposing on the 26th with some of the ones you had, but I think you had some additional ones, recreation-specific, we can talk about.
Yeah, we'll just come back and revisit them.
Okay.
Just so they're
great.
On the
yep.
dashboard for us to look at.
Use the term Inland Bays watershed. Mm-hmm. Isn't most of Sussex County in the watershed?
No.
It's about 40% of the county is in Inland Bays watershed. And then the rest to the west mostly goes Chesapeake, mm-hmm. A little bit of Delaware Bay on the northeast. Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else like to speak? Mr. Horsey.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Bobby Horsey with Horsey Companies. So, first of all, I want to thank you all for taking your time and doing this because I have tried my damnedest to get here all day. Mr. Ross, we're going to be at odds on one thing, but we are in agreements on one. And I want to tell you, through this comp plan, you know, I've been a big advocate of increasing density. But I don't think at a stroke of a pen that property owners should have an increased value by a stroke of the pen with this comp plan. So if the base density today is 2 units per acre and we're successful and we all agree that certain areas should have an increased density to 4 to 6 units to the acre, there should be compensation for that extra. What the mechanism is, I don't know yet, but I think there should be compensation that goes into a fund for preservation of lands or parks and rec. I'm a strong advocate of the Parks and Rec program. I know the county has never had an appetite to be in the Parks and Rec. I do believe in a public-private partnership. We all got kids. We all had kids. I know I'm sitting there looking at Doug. My boy played baseball out here, sports at the beach. I had a team. And I think that what sports at the beach and what parks does, recreation does for kids, for the youth of our society is immense. One of the things I never talked about is it keeps the kids off the streets, keeps them out of trouble. You know, it gives them an opportunity not only fighting childhood obesity, but also keeping them away from the drugs and alcohol for the most part. It gives kids of Sussex County that park out there in Georgetown, I feel, has done a great job of exposing our kids to college for college scholarships in the athletic department. You know, just me personally, the little team I coached, out of 13 kids, 5 went on to play baseball in college scholarships, which I was pretty proud of. I don't feel they would have got that opportunity if we didn't have a nice park out there, a recreational area. I do think we've done great protecting lands. I don't know if you all remember the map we presented on the 22nd, I think it was. We presented a map at the end of the meeting, showed all the protected lands here in Sussex County. I think we've done a great job protecting lands, but I think we have failed in the recreation side as a county.
Okay.
We got a responsibility to our next generation, to our kids, to help them and give them an opportunity to be outside. It's not just the kids. It's also, we got a large population of Latinos here in the county. Back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, some of y'all might not know this, but my family ran a sports foundation called the Sussex County Sports Foundation. Mm-hmm. We improved the Jay's Nest over to Seaford. It was sitting there, just vacant land, one football field and two softball fields. We finished constructing it, built a concession stand. We built two multi-purpose fields. And I can tell you, once we got it open, the amount of people that was using the facility was overwhelming, to the point that we actually had too much traffic on it and killed the grass. So there is a large need. And it's not even just kids, but it's, you know, our population as a whole, the Latinos. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen them on a weekend. It's a family event. And I strongly challenge each and every one of you to take a ride with her playing soccer and look at it. It's something that I wish America would go back to, because it's truly a family event. So I strongly urge you to consider some form of a public-private partnership. I know we don't want to break the bank given to recreation, but I think there's a mechanism that can be done wisely. And I think it's a great opportunity for Sussex County to be put on the map. And lastly, I'll leave you with this. Recreation's not just for the area kids. It can also be used as a great tourism-based economic boost for Air County. I don't think it's any secret what Pete has done out there with Sports at the Beach when it comes to restaurants, hotels, or gas stations and everything else. It's been a great economic boost for Air County. Don't know the number. I forgot all the numbers. But it's a big number what the economic driver is to this county. And other opportunities, whether it be lacrosse, soccer, or other things, can be we can feed off of that. So thank you for your time, and I strongly urge you to reconsider, Marty.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Horsey?
Thanks, Bobby.
All right. My kids would drive from Bridgeville all the way, and their mom would take them, and then when they got old enough, they take their younger siblings down to that Jay's Nest. That was their favorite, and they grew up in the woods on climbing trees, but they would drive all the way down there just to play on that Jay's Nest playground.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, anyone else like to speak? All right, then. We have any other business? I think that do we want to
discuss
the historic preservation element today, or
no? Let's go ahead and knock that out. It won't take long. Kim has some edits.
I just said, yeah, they're just.
I got edits to you.
Oh,
guys.
They might be the same edits.
Mind edits, or were they your edits?
No, they were just mine. Like
they were yours. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Mine was like okay. I've got on page 3. There's a typo page. And if you want, I'll just.
Do you want me just to take the paper copy?
Yeah. Let me see. I think I wrote.
He gave me his.
Yeah, that's mine. Could you read mine?
Yeah. I've never done any of my.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, page 23. Like that. I just had one question. Okay. Why it has the mission of downtown Wilmington Main Street?
Yeah, I had one too. Why couldn't we use like Rehoboth? That was my comment on that.
So I think that was just. I think you just cut and pasted from somewhere else and put that in there. So all my. Can you just take the whole thing? It's page 3, page 7, page 23. I've had it. So.
And I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
The 26 is conservation. Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody.
So I know we're talking about the conservation chapter on the 26. Did you want to revisit 15-20 minutes for the economic development chapter? Since you'll have more time to read that, or do you want to push that on to a different date?
I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
Good. I just need to know because I need to post the agenda.
On Monday, right?
I kind of need to do it today.
Economic development? I don't know that we'll have time for it based on conservation.
I think conservation is going
just
to take
it.
All day.
Take okay, not a problem. I was just
Let's
verifying.
To the first meeting in July.
In July. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
We don't have the population numbers anyway.
Right.
Do you need
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Yes. Do we want to make a motion then on the historic? With the
Scott,
okay,
yes.
Make a motion that we accept the draft of historic preservation with the edits that have been that have been handed you. Or
second.
So we're moving second to accept the historic preservation element as a draft subject to the edits submitted today. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. Any other business for the commission? Stand adjourned. Peace.